Welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. The Legacy and Faith Show is about the journey of discovering how to create plans that protect wealth and family values for generations. And now the host of the Legacy and Faith Show, Paul Grant.
And welcome. I'm so glad that you've tuned in today on KCIS AM 630 for the Legacy and Faith Show. Thank you so much. Well, the past couple weeks, we had a discussion about Medicare, Medicaid. I had in studio Mark Strzyzewski and from Sound Planning Group. Well, that last week's show ended up talking about we left off with an issue about long-term care and really the fear that individuals may have. And so I just jumped all over Mark and I said, I need you to stay for one more show, please. We got to talk about what does it mean to have long-term care and what some of the opportunities are for individuals to shore up this area that can be very anxious, that can cause a lot of fear.
Right.
So back in studio is Mark. Mark, thank you so much for joining me again today.
Thank you
so
very much.
So, Mark, tell us about yourself and about Sound Planning Group.
Well, Sound Planning Group, we're an insurance and financial planning firm in Kirkland, Washington. And I have actually been involved in this type of work since 1978, which is a long time. And
just a day or two.
Just
a few experiences.
Yeah. Sound Planning Group actually started in 1998. And then I tell the story, too, that in 2010, I actually named my son as CEO.
That's David.
Yeah. And he's taken it to new heights. So congratulations to him and his wife, Katie, that way. Me, I'm just the old guy. I'm still around, though.
Very nice. And you've actually have quite a bit of experience in long-term care.
Yes.
And specifically in the insurance realm. So how long have you been dealing with long-term care?
I think I've been involved with doing long-term care insurance probably 15 years, which is quite a long time in this given marketplace. I actually, earlier on in my insurance career, I had done a fair amount of what's termed disability income coverage. And when long-term care was first coming out, I saw it and I go, oh my gosh, this is something that's really needed.
Yeah.
Because as noted in our last show, Medicare only takes care of something for a very brief time.
Yeah, let's review that very, very quickly. So there's a gap in Medicare, and if someone was to find themselves in a position to where they're not recovering, and there's a specific definition around that,
right,
that it could lead them into a place where they now need to care for themselves financially, could launch them into a long-term care facility. It could launch them at home.
Right.
It could launch them into a child's home. And there is a lot of fear and trepidation and concern in this area. So can you review very briefly, what does it mean for Medicare to not fill the gap in this area?
Well, probably the first thing to note is that too many people assume that Medicare will take care of them.
Okay.
So I likened that to the ostrich, you know, with their head in the sand, because you don't have to work very hard to actually do a little research on this to understand that Medicare will not be your long-term care solution.
Okay.
Because the idea behind Medicare is that it's sort of like this. If you're broke, we'll fix you. But if you're not going to be fixed, if this is a chronic condition that's going to be long-term, then Medicare does not go beyond an initial 100 days. And depending on the type of plan you have, it's still going to be costing you some money out of pocket unless you've got a plan to fill in some gaps there. So what happens is this chronic condition continues, and, you know, the question is always, well, how long is a long-term care claim? Well, depending on whose statistics you're looking at, I would suggest to you the average claim is probably somewhere around 3 years.
Okay.
However, if we're looking at a cognitive scenario, we're looking at time frames of 8 years plus.
Yeah. And so that's a long time to not have what people believe is Medicare filling in the gap for them
right.
or assisting them financially. So
right.
I want to take just a brief moment and I want to read a couple scriptures here because this really does elicit emotional responses when we start talking
right.
about what am I going to do and how am I going to be taken care of. And look, there's three types of plans that, in my experience, we can lean upon. The first type of plan is that we can be self-funded, which means that I have built enough financial assets in my life that I am able to care for myself financially, that if I land in a long-term care facility or if I need extra assistance to bring in and assist me, I am able to self-fund. I can manage it and I don't need any outside assistance. Now, there's another opportunity to fill in the gap, and that's called long-term care insurance. And we'll get into that a little bit here, Mark, but the people, in my experience, as soon as they hear the word insurance, there's something that happens mysteriously in their ears, which is there's a film that goes over their ears and they can no longer hear anything. It's like these headphones I have on blocks all the noise of insurance out there. So, but look, we need to have the conversation because it really is option number two. If you've not been able to build enough wealth or opportunity to finance yourself, then we need to have another solution. Because if we don't, the third options are really not fun to discuss. And those last, those that option number three is that I am out of money. And so it's either A, now the government through the Medicaid system can come back in and aid me, and or B, I've got a family plan already in store. And the family plan is that I get to go live with my kids again, or they have to move in with me. I'm going to ask my children to throw off everything that they're doing in their lives and come back and care for me. And this is where the fear starts, is that if I haven't built sufficient financial wherewithal to assist myself, if I haven't had the opportunity to get insurance, I'm in one of these last two predicaments. And this is where we really start to be concerned. But I want us to hear a couple scriptures first, because we really need to understand who our ultimate provider is. We need to have and rest assured on His amazing grace, regardless of the system that we have built for ourselves. 2 Thessalonians 3:16 says, "Now may the Lord of peace Himself give you peace at all times and in every way. The Lord be with you." So look, may the Lord of peace Himself, that is a description of who God's character is, that He is peace. He is unable to not be there in a moment when you need Him. We're very familiar with Philippians 4:6. "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God." And so, and 1 Peter 5:7, "Casting all your anxieties on Him because He cares for you." So I just wanted to quickly take a moment and fill this gap with saying, look, we're going to be talking about some things that really cause fear, really cause anxiousness. And you mentioned the ostrich with the hole and just digging their head deep in. Look, that is not a solution. It never is. And so we need to have the conversation, but every one of our conversations must be around the greatest truth, which is God is good. And we must start every foundational discussion, specifically in this topic, with that premise. God is good. He's got your back. And we need to cast our cares and our anxieties on Him so that His peace can be felt by us, and that we can continue, even in compromised positions, to demonstrate the character and the grace of God to other people as we walk this journey of life. So with that, Mark, let's turn back and have a discussion about what does it mean to have insurance as one of our options. So we understand that if we have plenty of wealth,
right,
that we can then write the checks ourselves, and I can pretty much assist myself. Let's start with, what are some of the potential costs that we're actually talking about? So I've heard that costs can range anywhere from $3,500 up to $15,000 per month for long-term care, and specifically if we head into memory care, those costs just become exponential.
Right.
And so what does it mean for somebody to be impaired and facing this cost in their life?
Yeah, that is pretty broad. There's probably this note that most long-term care actually begins in the home.
Okay.
So there are some things that in the beginning that, you know, family or friends might be able to help with, but eventually it could very well require more. And in this case, you're bringing in possibly a home health aide or something of that, and you might be paying the equivalent of, you know, $25 an hour, typically minimum 4 hours to come in for something like that. And you might only need that person for, you know, a couple, three times a week for help, for example, with showering or things of that nature. Just for the sake of getting this out there, long-term care, the insurance side of it is contingent upon you being able to perform what are called activities of daily living.
Okay. And so, what does that mean?
Well, that means that, for example, if you cannot perform two activities of daily living without substantial help, and they're using the case of it, they're saying this is 90 days or greater, meaning that I need help with bathing or dressing or toileting or eating or transferring, any of those things. If I need help with two of them, then I might qualify for a claim. The other is a cognitive impairment.
Okay.
So those are sort of the triggers to long-term care coverage. And there are traditional approaches that are going to not only take care of that home care setting, they'll take care of assisted living, they'll take care of skilled facilities. I would say just in the Seattle area, right here on the campus here, Krista has got some phenomenal.
Great facilities, great assistance.
Phenomenal facilities,
that's
yeah.
Right.
Yeah, you know, I don't know what those current numbers look like here, but I would just say the numbers I've seen in the area of Seattle, an assisted living facility with some of the amenities that you're looking for is probably $4,000 to $5,000.
Okay.
The further you get out from Seattle itself, the price tag will go down a little bit.
Very good. All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break here, and we're going to come back, and we're going to talk about how does insurance actually fill that gap, or how does estate planning actually fill that gap. So we'll be right back with you on the Legacy and Faith Show. Are you aware that most estate plans don't work? Hi, this is Paul Grant, the host of the Legacy and Faith Show on KCIS AM 630. If you are considering creating your own estate plan and don't know where to start, or would like to know why most estate plans don't work, I invite you to attend an educational session on the truth about estate planning on Monday, June 11th from 6:30 p.m. to 8 p.m. You can register at legacyandfaith.com in the events tab. And good news, you can attend in person at our Linwood office, or you can now attend online via live streaming. Many listeners have desired to join our educational program from around the Pacific Northwest, and now you can do so without traveling. So head over to legacyandfaith.com and register for the truth about estate planning on Monday, June 11th at 6:30. That's legacyandfaith.com, where you can also download podcasts from our previous episodes and the Legacy and Faith Show.
Your photos, slides, scrapbooks, and home movies are invaluable and irreplaceable. Barry Kenny here with the Bear Services. Call us to save them as digital files to be stored electronically and shared liberally. We will even come to you so they stay in your possession. Go to thebearservices.com for more information. That's thebearservices.com.
Planning with Purpose, the law offices of Paul Grant, is accepting applications for a part-time office assistant and is always seeking highly motivated and exceptional attorneys. If you're interested in joining a team that seeks to serve families, then go to legacyandfaith.com and use the website's email option to express your interest.
We now return to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant, and continue today's practical discussion to apply biblical principles for kingdom purposes.
And welcome back to the Legacy and Faith Show. I have with me in studio Mark Strazeski from Sound Planning Group, and we're talking about people's most favorite two conversational piece. I mean, at my house around Thanksgiving, this is what we talk about all the time. And usually I'm the one who opens up my mouth and starts the discussion, which is what happens when you're incapacitated and you can't take care of yourself. And then let's talk about insurance. I mean, these two issues are just riveting and exciting for everyone to talk about. Are they not?
Yeah, you're surely the star of the show.
I am. So, but we've discussed this is really, really important stuff, because we can either self-fund or we can have some insurance, or we're going to rely upon either the government or our family to make those gaps. And so Let's talk a little bit more about insurance. So what does it mean to have long-term care insurance? We were talking about 2 out of your 5 daily living, that if they're compromised, then a claim can start. But let's go back even to one step more, which is how does somebody actually qualify or even start the discussion with their own financial advisor about what does it mean and do I need long-term care insurance?
I guess the first thing that I would note is if you're planning on getting older and if you're planning on eventually your health failing, there is a component of long-term care planning that everybody needs to take a look
at. Yeah, but I'm not going to have my failing health. Now, my hair is not agreeing with that topic. However, so I'm going to be healthy forever, you understand?
No, I get that.
Okay, very good.
Yeah. In fact, I hear that kind of argument where somebody says, well, I'm in such great health, I'm never going to need long-term care insurance. And I'm going, no. You're the guy who's gonna need it, because you understand that you're probably not just gonna go quickly because of some kind of disease. You're gonna be around for a while.
Yeah, you're fighting. You're gonna be a fighter. So that's great. Good news. I'm fighting, right?
Right.
Okay. So what are some of the things that people need to be looking for, whether or not they have financial wherewithal? But what does it mean to have a long-term care? What's the starting point? So there's an underwriting process that someone has to go through.
Right.
Can you talk to that a bit?
Yeah, it's a very important part of the conversation right now. In the earliest days of long-term care insurance, the underwriting side of the thing was not difficult, and the premiums were actually fairly low. In today's world, the underwriting has become much more severe, and the costs have gone up substantially. And there's a number of reasons why, one of which that initially underwriters thought that when people bought these policies, they'd be dropping them after a few years.
Right. Well, like they do life insurance.
It didn't quite happen like that. Yeah. Long-term care policies, when somebody gets a plan out, people figure out, you know what, I'm getting older every year. My health is probably not going to be getting better every year, and they don't drop these policies. Now, here's one of the things that you've really got to kind of wrestle with, okay, in financial planning. Traditional thinking said, well, I'll start thinking about long-term care when I'm 65 to 70 years old. Honestly, in many cases, that's kind of too late.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, what I've seen in working with financial advisors is that at 65, that's actually kind of the magic number where the insurance company actually raises their rates. So we should be having this conversation with someone in their 50s so that we can better prepare and keep those premiums lower and get the policy in place when individuals are actually healthy, correct?
Right. Yeah. My own personal example would be that because I was in the industry and understood some of these things, I got my first long-term care policy when I was like 45 years old. So I bought it and it was very inexpensive. I've seen a couple of rate hikes, but it's still inexpensive comparatively. And then I actually added to that later on just because I could. And but what happens is, at the time that I applied for either one of those policies, I got preferred rates because of my health status. Well, I've had some back issues in the last several years. And you know what? If I was going to be applying for coverage today, I couldn't even get the coverage.
Wow. Yeah. And yet you have a preferred status on the policy. And,
right.
And that really doesn't go away.
Does not go
and
away.
And so that's a huge reason of that planning. Planning at
right.
any point, whether it and all of this is really talking about your estate. How do we preserve wealth? How do we preserve our finances so that we
right.
have something to pass off to the next generation? Clients that I talk to have an extraordinary high value of ensuring that there is something left at the end of the day so that we can pass it off
right.
to our children. And so this is a fill in the gap area because long-term care insurance is not going to pay the whole bill. This is typically something that we receive a benefit from. It's a tax-free benefit if it actually is
qualified plan. Yeah.
Yep. And so, therefore, it's tax-free money coming at you at a place when you need it. Correct.
Yeah.
And so, so long-term care can be an opportunity to fill in this gap. Now, if someone is in their 50s or in their 60s, let's talk more about someone has waited until their mid-60s. What are some of the average pricing that you are seeing as you are assisting clients? Because my understanding is that, boy, the older you get, the more expensive these are becoming, and a lot of people are being priced out of them.
Yeah, if you're waiting too long, and especially if your health is questionable, I mean, even if you can get coverage and you've got some medical issues going on, you're going to be paying, you know, there are preferred rates or standard rates or substandard rates. It just depends on the company. It's pretty tough to come and just give you an absolute, you know, well, these are the averages. I would say this. It's important to keep in mind that if you're applying at the same time as a spouse, there is a real advantage in that. There's significant discounts that are available to both of you because the assumption is that you can help each other. You can, if I'm 65 years old and I'm looking at a fairly comprehensive plan, you know, I might be looking at something that costs, you know, $5,000 a year between us. If I start that same plan 10 years earlier, it could be half that number.
Right. And you said that there's some rate hikes occasionally, but for the most part, those policies are staying kind of true to those numbers as you continue to get older. I know that's one of the greater fears of saying, well, these rate hikes are just going to keep coming at me
yeah.
from the insurance company. The,
you know, that's legitimate because there have been rate hikes. I would also say, though, just to give some contextual understanding that the plans today are being designed and priced in such a way that we're in a low interest rate environment. So everything has been geared towards designing plans for low interest rate. Where the insurance companies really got into trouble and all these rate increases started coming was when we moved from, you know, 5 or 6%, you know, average interest rates down to, you know, 3, 2, 1. And all of a sudden, the insurance companies who are investing in very conservative type of investments, you know, if I've got a guarantee 5% compounding on a plan and I'm making 3% on it, there's no money being made.
Yep. And so so all of this has created an environment to where these insurance rates are going up and where there's a possibility that they could come back to you and ask for more. Now, one of the products that I really love, because it's not one of these products where it's a use it or lose it.
Right.
I mean, it's like my car insurance. Sometimes I just feel like rear-ending somebody so I can use my car insurance.
Don't
but
do
then
it.
I have self-control. I haven't done it. But, you know, it's like I keep paying this insurance.
Right.
And by golly, I'm a safe driver, darn it. And so my insurance company is just lucking out. But that doesn't have to be the case
right.
with long-term care anymore
right.
because we have these hybrid policies. What are those about?
Yeah, there are some excellent options out there that don't involve the same kind of very strict underwriting that traditional long-term care does. They tend to be annuity products, and they tend to be life insurance products. I'll give you an example. If I have $100,000 I put into an annuity, and it's got a long-term care rider on it, what that says is for every dollar I put in there, if I have a long-term care expense, I can leverage that $1 three times.
And you get to leverage it tax-free.
Correct.
And so it's actually leveraging it far more than three times if we want to start looking at whether or not we have to pull money from our IRA, which is going to be on our income hit, and we have to start paying taxes. So there's many advantages of actually having the conversation. Now, we're not advocating for one product over another product. The advocation here is that we need to have the conversation with individuals about their full financial structure.
Right.
What are their investments doing, and will they be able to self-fund? And if not, then how does insurance possibly fill the gap as far as being a part of your financial solution?
Yeah, just to continue on that thought with that example of that annuity, here's, you say the use it or lose it concept. Here's the advantage of this annuity, and that it works this way. That if I don't utilize that annuity for the purpose of long-term care benefits and I hold on to it to the end of my life, it can be transferred to any beneficiary that I care to offer that to. And that's going to in turn include the principal amount, maybe a little bit of interest. So I haven't lost the money.
Right.
It's just been there and available for me to utilize it. Or I can even be 10 years down the road with the number. And if I want to, I can take my money out.
So, Mark, how do people get a hold of Sound Planning Group?
Yeah, I would say the easiest way is our telephone number, 425-821-9442. I am extension 3. Or you can go on our website, check us out, soundplanninggroup.com, or our financial planning website, which is spgadvisors.com. And we've got links to different resources to be able to understand some of these things in more detail. And I think they're going to work well for you that way.
Well, thanks for coming in today. Another show with Mark Strzyzewski from Sound Planning Group talking about long-term care insurance. We need to sit down and have a conversation about what is in individuals' best interest. You can find me at legacyandfaith.com. Thank you so much for listening to another show, and we'll be back next week.
Thank you for joining us for the Legacy and Faith Show. You can find more information about the show and Paul Grant at legacyandfaith.com. Join us next week at the same time as we learn to build God's kingdom and continue our journey on how to protect wealth and family values for generations. All discussions on the Legacy and Faith Show are intended to be about general legal issues. If a situation applies to you, then we encourage you to seek specific legal advice. Please do not rely upon any discussions from this program in place of having a personal relationship with your attorney. Any listener question that may have been answered also does not constitute legal advice and does not establish a client-attorney relationship.